In the church, as we hold on to it still, and this is when we celebrate the day in which we hear about in Acts when God poured out his Holy Spirit as promised onto all people. And interesting things happened in the midst of it, didn't it? In Acts, the crowd was amazed and perplexed, as we heard earlier. Amazed and perplexed. That's an interesting way to feel, I suspect. And then they had the question, what does it mean? What does it mean? And others sneered and said, they're drunk, basically. They said it nicer than that. Well, at least in the words they did, but in person they probably had a lot to say. And strangely, I think the church is still both amazed and perplexed and wondering what does it mean, and also looking at people who are moving by the power of the Spirit and thinking, maybe they're drunk. The church moves in different ways when the church begins to move with the Spirit of God, and sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. Yeah, there are actually two collects for this morning. The second one talks about the comfort, and as I was discerning which collect will we use today, I said, I'm not going to say anything about comfort. You know, because we grab a hold of that when we say, the Holy Spirit, the comforter. No, the Holy Spirit's the advocate. We may find comfort in knowing that we're moving by the power of the Holy Spirit, but do you know why you need comfort? If you're moving by the power of the Holy Spirit, you better find some supernatural comfort, because otherwise you aren't going to find it, because the world won't offer you comfort when you're moving by the Spirit of God. You will feel out of place. People will think you've lost your mind. You will do things that you wouldn't think were possible for you to do. And you will say things you can't imagine came out of your mouth, because you opened your mouth and the Spirit of God will speak. This Holy Spirit comfort you receive is knowing that it's the Spirit of God working through you, and that should bring you some comfort. And why would it bring you comfort? Because you need it. You start moving by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will not be comfortable. You will need supernatural comfort to continue to do what God's doing through you. So what does it mean? Well, Peter reminds, as he stands up in the midst of this, quoting the prophet Joel, he begins to tell them a little bit about what it means, and even says, but this is the time that was prophesied about when in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit on all people. All people. He's not particular, strangely. And all will be able to do these things. Even the young men will be prophesying. The old men will dream dreams. Even the slaves, the free, it won't make any difference. All will have the Spirit of God within them. And interestingly enough, about 25 years later, we have Paul. After Pentecost, about 25 years or so, depending on which scholars you read, he's now writing a letter to the church in Rome. And within this letter to the church in Rome, Paul is explaining many things. Often people, he's never been there. He didn't found the church that's there. He didn't plant it. And it's a letter of introduction. And he's trying to say to the people, this is how we understand following this Jesus. And he touches on this part regarding the Holy Spirit. And he says, for all who are led by the Spirit, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Okay. So here we are, 25 years after the Pentecost event, and the leaders of the church are still having to try and say, what does this mean? So, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. You can see where maybe that comfort concept through the power of the Holy Spirit might be helpful. But it's not comfort like you want comfort. It's not comfort like I want comfort. It's not that comfortable place where you go, you know what? I can go ahead and do this because I feel okay with it. No, it's the kind of comfort that comes over you when the Spirit of God starts to move through you, and all of a sudden you find yourself out there in the world speaking to people you normally wouldn't speak to, doing things you wouldn't normally do, all for the love of God. And when you're beginning to see within others the pain and the sorrow that they have, and a piece of you, the Spirit of God, rises up and says, you can do something here. You can help this person. Even if all you do is just sit with them for a moment and speak with them and let them know that you see them as a human being, someone who is created in the image of God, loved by God, and therefore loved by you. The comfort comes when you're in the midst of that and somebody you know sees you doing it. They're going to be like, what are you doing? Well, the Spirit of God just came through. And I just found myself in the middle of this incredible moment of sharing and loving this individual. And then you feel comfort. It's not that you're suddenly going to feel comfortable doing that work. In fact, I pray, and don't take this wrong, I pray you never find comfort in it. Because once you become comfortable with it, oh wait, the world's already comfortable with it, isn't it? That's how it's so easy to pretend it's not happening. That's why it's so easy to let the world overrun all things in all places. Because the church is still asking the question, what does it mean? Seeks comfort. And I don't think God had any intention for his people to be comfortable when it came to standing against the things in the world that are not of God. It just isn't comfortable. So we seek the power of the Spirit. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now we're talking a little bit about our will, aren't we? There's that free will. Anybody here still have their free will? Well, I know you still have it because God won't take it from you, will he? Now, there are days I wish he would. I would be much more holy if it wasn't for my will. Amen? I mean, my will comes out, well, we don't even need to hear about that. You've probably seen it, as a matter of fact. But my will comes out pretty easily. I mean, a whole lot easier than anything else. And I have my desires, and I have my brokenness, and my sinfulness, and all the rest of it. And you know when it really comes out? When it comes out the most, for me, is when I'm supposed to be moving for God. Every time I start to move for God, all that other stuff comes up, doesn't it? The irritation level increases, those challenges increase. Strange things start to happen about our lives. And we go, oh man, I need to fall back because I'm afraid. Or we can claim the spirit of adoption. It's kind of a big deal. We've been adopted in through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We're empowered by the Spirit of God to go out and seek to do his will. And here, Paul says it so much nicer. It's so beautiful, you almost miss it, don't you? It is that very Spirit. I hear it this way. Maybe I shouldn't. It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Ah, that sounds nice. It almost sounds comfortable. Until we understand the fullness of what it means to be adopted. Children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Suffer. You mean to tell me that if my spirit is in alignment with the Spirit of God, bearing witness with the Spirit of God, my spirit, I might suffer? Me? Why would I suffer? Well, the suffering levels might be different. I have a friend that potentially can suffer at the highest level because the country in which he is a priest is a dangerous place to be a Christian. I don't mean dangerous because people don't like you. I mean dangerous like he could be killed. I don't suffer at that level. About the worst thing's going to happen to me is I walk into a room looking like a priest and people are going to go, oh, God. It's one of those. One of those. That's about as bad as it gets. Every now and then somebody will say something. But outside of that, for the most part, I don't suffer much in that way. Not from society, other than the fact that many people just think I'm a fool that trusts in this God, this invisible God. And that's okay. I know what I know, and I can live with the fact that they don't know what I don't know. In fact, I've been known to often say, it's not my fault if you're wrong. I mean, it happens. I happen to know that this is right. I fully understand what it means to experience the Holy Spirit, and I expect many of you do. Anybody here ever experienced the power of the Holy Spirit? An indwelling? All of a sudden, it can be in big ways, it can be in little ways. It could be just in this moment where somebody is in pain and hurting and you find yourself just strangely drawn to them and you sit with them and you listen, and the whole time you're walking up to them, you're thinking, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do here. And then you show up and you do it anyway, and you realize, and then afterwards you look back, and sometimes it happened, you didn't even know it, and you look back and you're like, how did that happen? Or even better, you're down the road and all of a sudden someone comes to you that you knew maybe years ago and they say, you know, there was this moment in my life, I don't even know if you remember it, and I came by and you spoke to me and you said this, and then that person walked away. And if you remember the moment, which you may or may not, your memory was probably, I can't believe I just said that to them. Why did I say that? And you go about your business and pretend it didn't happen. And then sometime down the road, that person comes up to you and they tell you how deeply meaningful it was to them when you said it. I had a unique experience at a Curcio weekend. Somebody was having a very difficult time with the material and they got up and they left their small group. And the person leading, one of the people leading the small group, came over to me in a complete panic. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Blah, 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 blah. And I was on to the part of leadership at that point, not a priest, thankfully, because that probably would have got me in trouble. And I looked at them and I said, stop, right now. The rest of your group is going to behave the way you behave. If you panic, they panic. The person's going to be fine. I already have somebody speaking to them. They just need to work some things out. Go back to your table and carry on. And the person looked stunned and just walked away, went back to their table and did their job. And I went, why did I do that? I mean, it was out of my mouth before I even gave it any thought. By the end of the next day, that person came up to me and she said, thank you so much for saying what you said. I needed it. I was totally panicking. They fell into fear. They fell into fear. And I think that's what is our biggest problem, church. It's we're called to go out there and teach and preach and share the good news of the gospel. And our primary concern isn't about the gospel. Anybody okay with the gospel in here? You're good with it? We're okay with the gospel. Amen? This is something we hear and it speaks to us. Can't say we fully grasp all of it, but we just know this is right. We know it's right. And most things that we know are right, we have no problem going out and sharing that with somebody else. This is good news. This is good information. Everybody should know it. Amen? And when we know that about other things, if we know that about a restaurant, this is a good restaurant. Service is good. The food is great. Well, just if you could find one where the service was good these days, that would be something. That in itself would be a Spirit of God moving. But you just get out. You're going to tell everybody. you've got to go check out this new restaurant. It's amazing. Why? Well, we know everybody likes good food, amen? I mean, people want to go out there and have some good food. Now, we just agreed that we all have this understanding of the gospel that we know it's good, amen? How many people are you going to tell today? And we have to stop. And I've wondered for so long, and it's just now coming to me, what's happened? We aren't talking about the good news because we're afraid of how it's going to be received. See, we spend so much time worrying about how information will be received from us. We don't trust the Spirit of God to move when we're sharing the good news of the gospel. Amen? We're in fear. We're afraid somebody's going to hear it wrong. Just like that moment at that weekend where I just blurted this stuff out and then I went, oh my gosh, I'm in trouble. I can't believe I did that. I'm trying to formulate how I'm going to sit down with this person and say, I'm so sorry that I was so abrupt with you. And the time just didn't happen. I mean, when you're leading retreat weekends, you don't always get a lot of time to deal with the other people who are leading with you. So the time just didn't come. Because it wasn't supposed to. I could have forced it. Or we could have let that person, let God do what he intended to do, although I came out in a very uncomfortable way. It maybe had a little bit to do with me, but it didn't feel like it at that moment. And that person was able to sort of inwardly digest how the Spirit was moving in them. And they actually found comfort in God doing a hard thing with them, although he made it come out of my mouth. And they went, I get it. Thank you so much for helping me stay focused. See, God does that. I mean, how many times in our own lives, brothers and sisters, have we been moving along and then a brother or sister in Christ comes alongside and they say something to us and it just cuts us to the bone, amen? Because we know that we're being worldly at the moment and they are speaking truth from the Word of God. And we hear that truth, however it comes across, and it just cuts us. And then we sit with it and then it marinates a little bit and we begin to change. And what's the word we like around here so much? Oh, we're transformed. And then we appreciate that that person moved with the Spirit of God and now out of a spirit of fear. That's how important it is. When we know the truth, and we're out there in the world and we can see the lies. And we're afraid to speak the truth because of how it might be received. We are not trusting that the Spirit of God, which has been poured out on all people, will handle how that person receives it. Because if God is working through you, and he is, he's working in them. And we just got to be ready to take on this full adoption that we have. And it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Heirs, as he says. Heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Our suffering, let's be honest, is minimal. Anybody feel like you're suffering when you fill up your gas tank right now? Anybody have to make the decision of whether to fill up your gas tank or buy groceries? Some do. You may ask why these sort of things matter so much to me. I can remember leaving for work as a young man, knowing full well I didn't have enough gas to get home. Knowing that my car would sit on the side of the road for 2 days until I got paid and could walk back and put gas in it And I was just hoping on that day I'd find somebody who could pick me up and take me to work for the next 2 days so I didn't lose my job. I have opened the cabinet and found a can of soup. One. I have fed my children in hopes that they didn't eat all the food I put on the table so that I could eat when they were done. Does one meal matter? Yes, it does. It matters more when it's served in alignment with the Spirit of God, when our spirit is aligned with His Spirit in witness. See, because that's where the good news is contained. And people did that for me. Transform my life, this presence of God, and the little old people who live next door to me. It's not just about what we do. It's why we're doing it. We do it because this is what God has placed in us. It's when our witness is, our spirit is in witness with His Spirit. It's when we're in alignment with God's will. Otherwise, we're just giving somebody something to eat, which is good. But when the Spirit of God in us is aligned with the Spirit of God moving, and you give somebody something to eat, they get a whole lot more than food, I promise you. See, because we've been given all these things by God. And this is the day we remember it. Just as He said, if you needed water, you could have asked me for living water, and you would never be thirsty. Isn't that what He told the woman at the well? He wants to pour out that living water through us. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense, but He wants to. He doesn't have to. He wants to, because I think He wants us to feel the depth of the relationship that He has begun with us, so that we know what it means to be in alignment with Him, so that we can feel that joy, which will also come with struggle and potentially suffering. But then we rise in glory with Him. We don't do it because we want to be glorified. We do it because we want God to be glorified because of what He has done. And in the gospel, according to John, people always ask, do you have a favorite verse in the Bible? And I say, I don't know if I have a favorite, but I have to tell you this one. Never forget. 14:12. Now this has to do with when our spirit is bearing witness with His Spirit, by the way, as Paul was explaining to the church and still today. And when we sit here today thinking about Pentecost and the behavior of it, and the things that went on, and still, geez, I even wrote it down, how many years later? 1,964 years later, brothers and sisters, the church is still saying, what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, chapter 14, verse 12. You will never have to wonder again. What does it mean? Jesus tells us what it means. Very truly, I tell you, that's ancient Greek for you better pay attention and listen up. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. He is going to the Father, which he has done, because then when he goes to the Father, as we are understanding from the gospel, he will pour out on all people the very Spirit of God. What does it mean? What does it mean? Brothers and sisters, it means that we will do all that he has done. In fact, we will do even more. Not because we'll do greater acts than God has done, God incarnate Jesus Christ. There is no greater act to be done in this world. But more of it will happen because his church is going to be moving by his power. Not just one incarnate God, Jesus Christ, going from town to town, laying hands on people and healing them, praying over them and them healing, them just being in his presence and coming to clarity, people hearing the good news of the love of God and the reconciliation brought through Jesus Christ, that part of belonging concept, not just one Jesus, but all these vessels carrying that same strength through the power of the Holy Spirit will just permeate the world and take it through across all lands from one end of the earth to the other. And when we're moving by that power, each person who finds themselves in pain and sorrow and hurting is going to be approached by someone who is in alignment, whose spirit is moving with the Spirit of God, who maybe out of initial concern, or maybe none whatsoever, is going to come to them and say, how can I be here with you, my brother or sister, so that you will understand the fullness of what God has for you? And they won't be afraid of how that person will receive it. Because we did not inherit fear. We inherited the very power of God, his Holy Spirit, in us, so that we would be transformed, and by living as transformed people, the world will be transformed. It's really kind of simple, isn't it? But I think the key is we are so afraid of how someone might receive what we are going to say or do. We don't do it. How many times? If my own life, I knew from here what needed to happen. I knew it. You know what I mean? You see something happening, you see somebody in need, and the depth, you didn't think about it. You saw it, and all of a sudden, right here, I know exactly what needs to happen right now. And then we didn't move. Done it. Too many times, because I grabbed a hold of that fear. I don't know how they're going to take it if I show up and start doing that. Well, God sunk it into you, because the person that you saw, he has made them ready to receive. And when we don't move, there's nothing for them to receive. And they go, Lord, where are you? And he's saying, I'm trying. If only my people weren't in fear and took their inheritance. Things would be different. So if you're looking for comfort, worldly comfort, and if you've been waiting for that for a long period of time, there's a reason. It doesn't exist. But if you're looking for confidence, if you're looking for your life to be changed, if you're looking for a life that changes other people's lives, that comes when we move in alignment, our spirit in alignment with the Spirit of God. That's what we celebrate today. That is what God is calling his church to. That is what he has been calling his church to. It's what wasn't understood on that day, and the people watching thought they were drunk. It was the thing that Peter pointed to when he quoted the prophet Joel, who had said this was going to happen long before that day. And it is, again, what Paul had to say to the church 25 years down the road, and 1,964 years later, the church is still saying, and others in the church are saying to the church and to themselves, take the full adoption. Be an heir. So that this church can do all that Jesus has done and more, because he has gone to the Father. And that spirit of his that moved him to do all that we read about is now in us. We just have to align with it. Be not afraid, brothers and sisters. Your comfort will come when that longing in your soul is quenched by the very Spirit of God moving through you. Amen.